We are getting ready to go through a series on the book of Ruth. Let's go. Super excited to go after this. And so, but we thought, you know what? The best way to kick this off is let's just read through the book of Ruth. And I initially wanted to just go ahead and memorize the whole book myself and then act out every part. And the team told me I couldn't. So I went with something even better. And this beautiful group of our family members are going to read through the book of Ruth. And we've got kind of a fun thing. What we're going to do is I want you to listen because we're going to read through the book of Ruth. And then it's going to be an interactive day. We'll have an opportunity to have a little bit of a conversation about it. And then I've got a couple thoughts to share with you. And then we'll end with a little vertical time with Jesus. So now you know what to expect, okay? So let's begin with hearing the story of God's history with us that we hear in Ruth.
In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a man of Bethlehem in Judah went to sojourn in the country of Moab. He and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem in Judah. They went into the country of Moab and remained there. But Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died, and she was left with her two sons. These took Moabite wives. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other, Ruth. They lived there about 10 years, and when both Mahlon and Chilion died, so that the woman was left without her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law to return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the fields of Moab that the Lord had visited his people and given them food. So she set out from the place where she was with her two daughters-in-laws, and they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. But Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law,
"Go, return each of you to her mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you, as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband."
Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. And they said to her, "No, we will return with you to your people." But Naomi said,
"Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Have I yet sons in my womb that they may become your husbands? Turn back, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, even if I should have a husband this night and should bear sons, would you therefore wait till they were grown? Would you therefore refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, for it is exceedingly bitter to me for your sake that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me."
Then they lifted up their voices and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. And Naomi said,
"See, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law.
Do not urge me to leave you or return from following you. For where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. May the Lord do so to me and more, also if anything but death parts me from you."
And when Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more. So the two of them went on until they came to Bethlehem. And when they came to Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them. And the women said, "Is this Naomi?" She said to them,
"Do not call me Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went away full, and the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi, when the Lord has testified against me, and the Almighty has brought calamity upon me?"
So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabite, her daughter-in-law with her, who returned from the country of Moab. And they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest. Now Naomi had a relative of her husband's, a worthy man of the clan of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth said to Moab, Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi,
"Let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain, after him in whose sight I shall find favor."
"Go, my daughter."
So she set out and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the clan of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem, and he said to the reapers,
"The Lord be with you."
And they answered, "The Lord bless you." Then Boaz said to his young man, who was in charge of the reapers,
"Whose young woman is this?"
And the servant who was in charge of the reapers said, "She is the young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab. She said, 'Please, let me glean and gather among the sheaves after the reapers.' So she came, and she has continued from early morning until now, except for but a short rest." Then Boaz said to Ruth,
"Now listen, my daughter. Do not go to glean in another field or leave this one, but keep close to my young woman. Let your eyes be on the field that they are reaping, and go after them. Have I not charged the young men not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink what the young men have drawn."
Then she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said to him,
"Why have I found favor in your eyes, that you should take notice of me, for since I am a foreigner?"
"All that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband has been fully told to me, and how you left your father and mother and your native land and came to a people that you did not know before. The Lord repay you for what you have done, and a full reward be given you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge."
"I have found favor in your eyes, my lord, for you have comforted me and spoken kindly to your servant, though I am not one of your servants."
And at mealtime, Boaz said to her,
"Come here and eat some bread and dip your morsel in the wine."
So she sat beside the reapers, and he pasted her roasted grain. And she ate until she was satisfied, and she had some left over. When she rose to glean, Boaz instructed his young men,
"Let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not reproach her. And also pull out some from the bundles for her, and leave it for her to glean, and do not rebuke her."
So she gleaned in the evening until she gleaned in the field until evening. Then she beat out what she had gleaned. It was about 30 pounds of barley. She took it up and went into the city. Her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. She also brought out and gave her what food she had left over after being satisfied. And her mother-in-law said to her,
"Where did you glean today, and where have you worked? Blessed be the man who took notice of you."
So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said,
"The man's name with whom I work today is Boaz.
May he be blessed by the Lord, whose kindness has not forsaken the living or the dead. The man is a close relative of ours, one of our redeemers."
"Besides, he said to me, 'You shall keep close by my young men until they have finished all my harvest.'"
"It is good, my daughter, that you go out with his young women, lest in another field you be assaulted."
So she kept close to the young women of Boaz, gleaning until the end of the barley and wheat harvests, and she lived with her mother-in-law. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her,
"My daughter, should I not seek rest for you, that it may be well with you? Is not Boaz our relative with whose young women you were? See, he is winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. Wash, therefore, and anoint yourself, and put on your cloak, and go down to the threshing floor. But do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. But when he lies down, observe the place where he lies. Then go and uncover his feet and lie down, and he will tell you what to do."
And she replied,
"All that you say, I will do."
So she went down to the threshing floor and did just as her mother-in-law had commanded of her. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of a heap of grain. Then she came softly and uncovered his feet and lay down. And at midnight, the man was startled and turned over, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. He said,
"Who are you?"
"I am Ruth, your servant. Spread your wings over your servant, for you are a redeemer."
"May you be blessed by the Lord, my daughter. You have made this last kindness greater than the first, in that you have not gone after young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you ask, for all my fellow townsmen know that you are a worthy woman. And now it is true that I am a redeemer, yet there is a redeemer nearer than I. Remain tonight, and in the morning, if he will redeem you, good, let him do it. But if he is not willing to redeem you, then as the Lord lives, I will redeem you. Lie down until the morning.
So she lay at his feet until the morning, but arose before one could recognize another. And he said,
let it not be known that the woman came to the threshing floor. Bring the garment you are wearing and hold it out.
So she held it out, and he measured out 6 measures of barley and put it on her. Then she went into the city, and when she came to her mother-in-law, she said,
how did you fare, my daughter?
Then she told her all that the man had done for her, saying,
these 6 measures of barley he gave to me, for he said to me, you must not go back empty-handed to your mother-in-law.
Wait, my daughter, until you learn how the matter turns out, for the man will not rest, but will settle the matter today.
Now Boaz had gone up to the gate and sat down there, and behold, the Redeemer of whom Boaz had spoken came by. So Boaz said,
turn aside, friend, sit down here.
And he turned aside and sat down. And he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said,
sit down here.
So they sat down. Then he said to the Redeemer,
Naomi, who has come back from the country of Moab, is selling the parcel of land that belonged to our relative Elimelech. So I thought I would tell you of it and say, buy it in the presence of those sitting here and in the presence of the elders of my people. If you will redeem it, redeem it. But if you will not tell me, that I may know. For there is no one besides you to redeem it, and I come after you.
And he said, I will redeem it. So then Boaz said,
the day you buy the field from the hand of Naomi, you also acquire Ruth the Moabite, the widow of the dead, in order to perpetuate the name of the dead in his inheritance.
Then the Redeemer said, I cannot redeem for myself, lest I impair my own inheritance. Take my right of redemption for yourself, for I cannot redeem it. Now this was the custom in former times in Israel concerning redeeming and exchanging. To confirm a transaction, the one drew off his sandal and gave it to the other. And this was the manner of attesting in Israel. So when the Redeemer said to Boaz, buy it for yourself, he drew off his sandal. Then Boaz said to the elders and all the people,
you are witnesses this day that I have bought from the hand of Naomi all that belonged to Elimelech and all that belonged to Chilion and Mahlon. Also Ruth the Moabite, the widow of Mahlon, I have bought to be my wife, to perpetuate the name of the dead in his inheritance, that the name of the dead may not be cut off from among his brothers and from the gate of his native place. You are witnesses this day.
Then all the people who were at the gate and the elders said, we are witnesses. May the Lord make the woman who is coming into your house like Rachel and Leah, who together built up the house of Israel. May you act worthily in Ephrathah and be renowned in Bethlehem. And may your house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah, because of the offspring that the Lord will give you by this woman. So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. And he went into her, and the Lord gave her conception, and she bore a son. Then the women said to Naomi, blessed be the Lord, who has not left you to this day without a redeemer, and may his name be renowned in Israel. He shall be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age. For your daughter-in-law who loves you, who is more to you than 7 sons, has given birth to him. And then Naomi took the child and laid him on her lap and became his nurse. And the women of the neighborhood gave him a name, saying, a son has been born to Naomi. They named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David.
Amen. Give those guys a hand. Good job, guys. Thank you so much. Well, as promised, let's talk about it. Let's talk about it. So the first question I have for you guys, and just raise your hand. Jason's got the mic with him. And I want to ask you this. What is the story about? What is the story about? And I'm not going to do that thing to you that bad teachers do. I don't have a specific answer that if you answer and it's close, then I go, no. I genuinely want us to have a discussion. As you're hearing this, what do you think this story is about?
Redemption.
Redemption. Come on. She didn't even need the mic. Good to see you, Leslie. Redemption. Yeah. What's this story about? What else is this story about? Just raise your hand and feel free to, you know. Burnett?
God's goodness.
God's goodness. Absolutely. Love.
Love. Unconditional love.
Unconditional love.
Loyalty.
Ooh. Loyalty. Yeah. Come on. How many of you like that one? Loyalty. Ruth. The friend. What's this story about? Redemption, loyalty, love.
Trust.
Trust? Yeah. Who?
From the Lord.
From the Lord. Trusting the Lord. Yeah, I like that. What else? What else is this story about?
God's provision.
God's provision. Yeah. Adoption from outside of God's family into God's family. Let's go. Yeah. Yeah. Who are you to have favor on me, a foreigner, right? Go back to your people. Go back to your God. No, I will not go. I will come to you. I'll come with you, Ruth. Yeah, that's good. You guys are doing great. Keep them coming. What's this story about?
Generosity
and Jesus is our kinsman redeemer. Oh yeah, we're going next level. We have the benefit of knowing that Jesse, the father of David, David, the father of Christ, but they didn't know that, did they? But it's absolutely right. Jesus is our kinsman redeemer. And we'll unpack some of that as we continue, but yeah. Star on your chart, though, for jumping ahead. I love it.
Tyler's a teacher's pet.
That's true. That is true. Any other thoughts? These are really good.
I think
faithfulness. Faithfulness. Yeah. Faithfulness.
The daughter
Between the daughter and the mother-in-law. Yeah. Yeah. What an incredible friendship. Yeah. How about a prophetic word that mother-in-laws can be your best friend? That daughter-in-laws could be your best friend? How many bad stories do you hear about that? And then here's this, the one of the most famous stories of friendship, Ruth and Naomi.
Have the microphone. It's also the plan of God, how to provide in that time and how it all came together and how they did it exactly the way he laid out so that they are redeemed and they are provided for.
Come on. Yeah. Yeah, they go ahead, Jason.
I was going to say the love and treatment of the foreigner, the outsider.
Yeah, yeah, right?
Obedience.
Obedience, yeah.
God's protection.
God's protection, yeah, right? Looking out for her, the way that Boaz is saying, don't trouble her and don't go in another field. Because you might be hurt, but stay in this field. Go ahead.
Dave raised his hand, so I have job security.
And not only that, she was a foreigner, but she was in the Messianic line, and God chose to do that.
Right. God pulled her in. Oh, come over here. Yes.
I feel like they were great.
Well, wait for the microphone here, please. Love it.
I was saying brave. They were brave.
Yeah, tremendous courage. Go back to a land in the middle of a famine because you heard there's blessing. No idea what the outcome's going to be. from sorrow to joy. Yes.
Kind of related. I was going to say in the midst of grief, moving forward and continuing to rely on God.
That's good. Yeah, that's really good. A couple more. What's this story about? Hope. Yeah. Yeah. How many of us need to remember that there's hope in the story right now, in your story? All right, let me ask you another question. You guys, this is brilliant. I love it. Are you enjoying this? Which character did you connect with and why? So this is kind of more of a one-sentence answer now. We're moving up from a word or three words into a whole sentence. Not nine sentences, but one or two sentences. Which character did you connect with and why? We're going a little more personal. That's all right. We're in the living room. We're a family. What character did you connect with and why? Just raise your hand and thank you.
I connect with Ruth. I am a foreigner to this country, and I was brought in, and my home is here.
Come on. So can I ask, like, as a foreigner in this country and connecting with Ruth, what, maybe just unpack that just a little bit.
So everything was new and different. I'm long ways from my family, and I felt so welcomed in and just brought into the family.
Wow. Okay. So it was a positive experience as a foreigner, not necessarily a negative one, but coming from the outside in. How many of you connect with that part of it as a foreigner? So, yeah. How about another one? There's not a right answer. This is about you. Where are you connecting in the story? What character is highlighted to you and you go, oh, I liked this part. That said something to me. I appreciated Boaz when Ruth comes to him and he says, the kindness that you're doing to me is even greater than the kindness that you've already done, that you would choose me. He was honored that Ruth was interested in him. He's like, here's this awesome woman of character that is saying, I hope you'll redeem me, Boaz. And Boaz is like, are you kidding me right now? It's a pretty incredible thing to be chosen, isn't it?
Actually, I'm with you with Boaz, but with me, it's more of his generosity and the provision that he gave to Ruth, and as well as the protection that he gave to Ruth and Naomi.
Mm-hmm. Maybe just a couple more. One of the characters that I want to ask it a different way. Maybe you don't have to connect with the character, but what was a character that was highlighted to you and something that you were impressed with the role that they played? You know, just maybe take it from a different angle.
I kind of related to one of the dead husbands.
Okay.
And the reason is...
This is awesome.
Yeah.
I am leaning in.
Because my thought is, you know, as a father of daughters,
right?
You know, they're going to go out in the world.
Yeah.
And I have to rely on the Lord, you know, to protect and care for them.
Whoa.
And so I think, you know, it inspires me that there are people out there like Boaz that, you know, want to care and protect for people. Because I think sometimes when you're watching the news or, you know, a gritty Netflix show, you know, it makes you scared.
Right.
You know, that those people don't exist.
Let's go. I'm getting saved on that one. How many of you just got saved That was so good. Unbelievable. I did not expect that. I like this. All right.
I really liked how Boaz, when Ruth came to him, didn't just immediately take the glory on himself, but offered it to someone else who he thought was more qualified at first. He wasn't seeking glory for himself.
Okay. Yeah, I like that. Fair.
It highlighted to me this, the fact that Naomi felt sorry for herself, like God had abandoned her, yet here's someone that was basically being his hands and feet to her. And I feel like oftentimes in life, we can be like, what has God done? Why is he mad at me? And if we look around, he's got someone that's expressing what he feels towards us as Ruth did.
How many of you guys heard that? How many of you that was like, okay, that's a good word?
I was pretty impressed with Ruth's boldness to do weird things like lay at his feet in a field.
Right.
But then also her unflinching faithfulness to Naomi from like the very beginning.
Yeah.
Pretty inspiring to me.
Yeah.
The part that I was thinking about was how the person that was the Redeemer passed up on the opportunity, and the reason he gave was because he didn't want to diminish his own physical wealth and his inheritance to his own, so he's trying to hold on to what he had, and he missed out on being in God's blessing.
Yeah. Imagine that. He could have been in the lineage, right? And he didn't. That's good.
I was thinking, why this story, who wrote it, and why put where it was, right? Because the whole idea of continued redemption, not just in Ruth, but throughout Christ's lineage and what he did for us on the cross. Mm-hmm. And so it comes down from oral history, and someone chose, whether it was a prophet. They're not really sure who wrote this book. But how it was, I was thinking from the author and hearing this story and saying, we need to put this in writing. Mm-hmm. People need to hear this.
It's good.
We will talk a little bit about that. Just spoiler alert, Francine Rivers wrote this book, so that's good. I kid. This is not actually a romance.
I feel like that one too might be a little teacher's pet right there where she's kind of going out in front again. So Tyler and... Let's see what's going on here. All right, let's ask the next one. Who's this story about? Like, whose story is this? Again, not a right or wrong answer, and you've kind of delved into it a little bit.
This question was made for Sam Haig.
I think it's about Naomi, because throughout the beginning, she's talking about how the Lord is bitter toward her and resenting her, and has to learn that God has a redemptive plan for the bitterness in her life.
Wow. That's pretty good. I mean, totally wrong, but good. Just kidding. I'm just kidding.
In part, I think this is about God and who he is and his character. This story is so contrary to human nature. Even having women be the center of the story is absolutely contrary to most of human history and human nature. And illustrating the story through the powerless is contrary to human nature. Mm-hmm. So I think in it being so different, I think that it also illustrates the authenticity of Scripture itself. Mm. Because if we were going to write a story about our heroes, generally this is not how we would write it.
Come on, that's really insightful. Got some deep waters over there, Jeremy. You're blessed. Yeah, I think that is profound. Couple more thoughts. Who is this story about? Back in the back.
One of the things that strikes me about this story, and actually a lot of the stories in the Bible, that the women that are represented in the Bible all have such a significant strength to move forward the plan that God has for them. You know, I can't think of really any story in the Bible, and maybe I'm wrong, where, you know, we've got this weak, wishy-washy woman. You know, we've got really strong representative women, and I love that. I think that's great. And Ruth and Naomi both exhibit that. They're not only going from culture to culture, but think about the physical. They're traveling alone as women, you know, from point A to point B, however far that was. And that was pretty intense, especially back then.
Yeah, that's a great insight. I like that. Maybe just one more. Who wants to have the last word on who this story is about? That just turned into pressure, didn't it? Who wants to share something totally open-handed and wonderfully well? Not even Tyler? Oh, here we go, Ben. Ben Wilcox. The Tyler anointing is upon him. I'm sorry, Tyler. It's just, I feel safe teasing you. You're so resilient, like Ruth.
I think this story is about everybody that shows up. I think it strikes me that God often has, you know, there's this one thing that happens to this one person, and maybe that story repeats itself hundreds of times in history, and yet this one story is highlighted, and it becomes this major thing, and it's crazy how God does that with all of our stories.
That was such a perfect segue that I just need to tell you ahead of time that I did not plant Ben. We're going to spend time unpacking this over the next 4 weeks. And I can say quite honestly, I think everything that got said today is 100% true. I think what we just heard together as we listened to this story and reflected back is 100% true. Can I ask the worship team to come up? These are all the facets and the aspects of what we see and what God's doing. And I love that, you know, even thinking of those sons who couldn't save themselves, but God was looking out for their wives and looking out for the future of their part of the story. I mean, good night. That was really good. And each of you shared something brilliant. And I think it really sews into exactly, Ben, as you said, that it's God's story, but God has invited us into his story. And every single person in this room, you know, we can identify with Naomi sometimes, who's bitter and without hope, right? We can identify sometimes with Ruth, where your dreams have died and you are left without a provision. And yet, in her faithfulness, she becomes a mother through whom Christ came and redeemed all things. And it just goes on and on, Boaz. And so there are so many aspects, but I felt like today, okay, Lord, as we're gonna close today and then continue on with this, what kind of encouragement would you have for us as a family today? And this is what I felt like he highlighted to me, and that is, wherever you are in your story, okay, this is for each of us as an individual, wherever you are in your story is in God's story. And he's going to take care of you. He's going to take care of your daughters. He's going to take care of my daughters. He's going to take care of your sons. He's going to take care of your wife or your husband or your celibacy. He's going to take care of you. He's going to take care of every aspect of your life, and the story's not over. As we continue to walk through, you know, when we don't have hope, it says, when a man without vision will perish. In another place it says, a man without vision, a person without vision will cast off restraint. When the enemy comes in and says, it's all lost, what's the point? You might as well take a drink. You might as well fill in the blank, right? It doesn't matter because hope is lost. But the Lord is saying, I'm in your story and the story's not over. And so the choices you make do matter. And Jesus is gonna come through your story in your life, in other people's lives, and Jesus is also coming for you in the story. So wherever you are today, whatever character that you're identifying with, whatever circumstance, because Ben's right? This is our story, isn't it? But God's in it. So this morning, I just wanna take a moment. The team's just gonna play a little bit. And I want us to go vertical. And just ask the Lord two questions. I just want you to close your eyes. We're just going to be alone with the Lord together in this room. The first one is to just ask the Lord, Lord, where am I in the story right now? You know, Lord, where am I in the story? Not necessarily Ruth, but the story of history. Where am I in the story of this time on earth that you've given me? Where am I, God? And then the next question you're going to ask him, Lord, where are you in my story? Where are you right now in my story, Lord?